Kim, it's been a whirlwind year and a half or so, and we've got so much to talk about in so little time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Let's start with, I guess, chronologically, you began making a movie. There came a record along the way. There came an appearance at Sundance along the way. You went to Europe. I know how the movie thing came about, but how was that whole experience for you? I Used to Be Darker is the name of the film.
Yep. It was a fantastic experience. It was my first, really my first acting. I'd only done like high school theater up to that point. You know, and it wasn't too far of a stretch, I guess, from what I already do. Performing on stage all the time, you sort of take on different personas. I'm used to having people staring at me. It was really a matter of distance. They, instead of being in the audience at a long distance, they were sort of up close and personal. And but I got over it pretty quickly. I think if you can shake the self-consciousness, you know, that everybody's staring at your every move, then you can ride it out pretty well. So no, it was really a fantastic experience, especially with that crew and working with Matt Porterfield. He's really a visionary director, so yeah.
Live concert, you're doing a song, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a movie, it's take.
Mm-hmm.
After take.
Mm-hmm.
After take.
Mm-hmm.
Does that get bothersome? Does that get tiresome?
No, I mean, it's very similar to studio work. Actually, there's not as many takes, at least with Matt. Matt kind of likes the rawness about things. He's not quite as much of a dictator in terms of directing, so it's not like we did 50 takes of the same scene over and over again. In the studio, you do 50 takes sometimes of a single sentence if I just can't nail it. So no, it was a little bit different in that way, but, you know, still a great process.
And next came the making of your new record, Love's a Dog, although there was Sundance Film Festival in there. Did that come as a surprise to anybody involved in the movie?
Well, we did Sundance in January.
Mm-hmm.
We got the word at Thanksgiving. So I knew that we were being submitted for all these festivals. I was really hoping that I would have the record done by the time we'd start the festival circuit for Darker. So the timing has been really great. I do a song in Darker called American Child that was actually on Little Miracle, but we remixed it and put it on the new record so that when I started doing the festival circuit, I could feel like the new record connected to the movie as well. So,
what was Sundance like? Was it a pretty cool experience?
It was. It was really busy for me. We had a ton of photo shoots and Q&As, and I did two shows as well, one for ASCAP Cafe, which was amazing, very prestigious showcase. I was expecting to get to see movies, and I didn't get to see a single movie, and that was partly because my schedule was so nuts, and it was partly because you get vouchers to see movies, and unless you stand in line at like 6 in the morning, they all sell out. And it was the same when we went to Berlin. I couldn't see a single film, so that was surprising.
Before we get into the record, you mentioned Berlin. Let's just keep on that track. Mm-hmm. How was the European experience?
It's amazing. It was our international showcase, or international premiere, was at the Berlinale in Berlin, Germany, and similar process, did a lot of Q&As. I didn't do any photo shoots there. It was a little more low-key in that way, but we had about 5 screenings, 700 to 800 people at most screenings, and everything was sold out. And it looks like we're doing some other festivals coming up soon in Europe, so it's
all
really
good. Did you play a show or two in Berlin?
I did. I played a private show. Ned Oldham and myself, we played a private show. And the movie's about he and I divorcing and how it's affecting each of us, our lives, and our daughter and our niece. So Love Hurts was sort of supposed to be a reflection of our early years together. And so we did that on Berlin Radio.
Onto the record. The record is called Love's a Dog. Wonderful record. I think your best effort so far.
Thank you.
Again, working with Jimmy Zhivago in New York, and Jimmy's done some wonderful production on this. How was this whole process?
Well, the first thing that was amazing about it is that I did a Kickstarter project for it, and I was pretty skeptical about Kickstarter when Kickstarter first started, and well, Darker did a Kickstarter project. Mm-hmm. We had about another $40,000 to raise, and I got to be in Baltimore while we were filming, and we were doing the Kickstarter project then, and I got to be a part of a group, a team of people that were running a Kickstarter campaign, and it was so intense and scary, and we didn't know if we were going to make it, and we did, and it was such a great way to do art while you're trying to raise the money, you know, not sure you're going to get it. And so I was like, I'm going to do that. And I actually boarded the plane to New York to make the record. It was like 3 days after I had launched the Kickstarter, and I had already made almost half of my amount. And I had really undersold what I needed. I was really nervous about asking for too big of an amount. So I asked for like $10,000 or something, you know, to help defray my costs. being able to step on the plane and feel like I had half the record funded, or not funded, but some of the stuff I needed, like taken care of, helped me when I went to actually make the record. Because money is always an issue. I have no label. I never have. Mm-hmm. No publishing. I've always owned my own publishing. So everything comes from me, generates from money I make with music. So I have to split the difference between paying bills and investing in a new project. But this project, you know, we recorded in the same studio I did for Little Miracle, Jack McKeever's studio called The Maid's Room on the Lower East Side. And we mixed in a studio in Brooklyn, and that made the difference. I really pushed for a different kind of mix. Jimmy sent me many takes, and I was like, nope.
You made it hard.
But that's what's so great about Jimmy's, because he gets it, and he just wants me to be happy with it. And I really wanted this record sonically to sort of blow you out of the water. I just wanted you to feel, like, blown away by it. And so I think he got really close to achieving that. That was a big part of it. Mm-hmm. So me pushing for what I wanted.
What you just said, blow you out of the water, brings me to this tune called Time and Again, and I want to listen to a little bit of it from Love's a Dog. It's Kim Taylor. Love that. And I think I told you either verbally or in a text, it reminded me, something brought me back to the Fleetwood Mac Rumors record.
Yes.
You probably didn't have anything of the sort in your mind, but there's something about those harmonies in there that just has that feel. And I mean that at the utmost of compliments. It's, mm-hmm. you know, of course, one of the best records of all time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's some of the production you're talking about with Jimmy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different sounds on here, although it's still a very cohesive sound throughout mm-hmm. the entire record.
We had a few records we were referencing. Rumors was definitely one of them. It's one of my favorite records of all mm-hmm, time, and mm-hmm. I certainly was going for that sound. At the same time, the song itself, I wasn't necessarily trying to write a Fleetwood Mac song, but I'm becoming even more influenced by them as I get older. I actually got to see her at Sundance. I got into a private party and got to see her, and I can just say I just cried for half an hour when she walked on stage. I've never had a fangirl moment, but I did with her. It's good to hear that you think it's cohesive. So,
oh, yeah. Kickstarter twice around for the movie uh-huh. and for the record.
Uh-huh.
And it really surprises me. It surprises me in a good way mm-hmm. that there aren't just a couple of people doing this and being successful. There are a lot of Kickstarters. There are Kickstarters around town for concerts, for little opera productions getting going. Yeah. And they all seem to be successful, which is a really cool thing for the arts community, both here mm-hmm. and certainly nationwide and internationally.
Right. I have seen some that aren't successful, and I think one of the key differences is that you really have to make sure you're offering something that people really want. You have to make sure that your rewards are cool, that you actually have good rewards. Mm-hmm. I'm still sending out stuff to people, and Kickstarter's a way to build your fan base, too, and to carve out relationships with people. But, yeah, and we just had our very first Oscar win on a half Kickstarter-funded project, Inocente, documentary about a homeless girl in California, and they raised money on Kickstarter for post-production.
And won an Oscar.
Just won its first Oscar.
Wow.
Yep, for
sure. That's
pretty
incredible.
Short documentary.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I want to dig into the record once again for this very, very pretty tune called Your Bleeding Heart.
Your bleeding heart in your hand. Been there a while, you're just now noticing. I wish I could help you. We all have our own bleeding heart to attend.
It's called Your Bleeding Heart. It's from Kim Taylor's brand new record called Love's a Dog. Be on the lookout for it before too very long. Kim, thanks so much for catching us up. You've been a busy young lady. All the best to you. Best of luck.
Thanks very much.
And for Around Cincinnati, I'm Brian O'Donnell.